Today's Shem Daf Tezvav. We'll begin on Daf Tezvav, Amud Aleph at the third line. The Gemara have taught us in the previous Shia, the Rav said, the Halach according to Rav Yehuda, there's that even though our Mishnah taught us that if somebody shechts an animal, a bird on Shabbos, the Halach is that the Shechitasik Sheira, but Rav had taught us that his opinion is that you may not eat it that day. And the Gemara, and Rav said it represents the opinion of Rav Yehuda. The Gemara in our previous year had attempted quite extensively to prove that the reason we say it's the opinion of Rav Yehuda is because it's connected to Rav Yehuda's opinion regarding Hilchas Muksa. But after an extensive back and forth, the Gemara said that that is not the explanation. Therefore, says the Gemara, Elam Rav Ashi, why does this represent the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? And where do we find Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that that would represent? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Mavashal, it's Rabbi Yehuda that spoke about somebody who cooked on Shabbos. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us, Mavashal Shabbos, so somebody cooks on Shabbos, and obviously cooking on Shabbos is a serious act of Chil Shabbos. Cooking on Shabbos is one of the Lamites Melachas, and says the Gemara that somebody cooks on Shabbos b'shogeg. If this was done b'shogeg, he didn't realize that today is Shabbos. He doesn't know that one may not cook on Shabbos. So yoichel, the halach is it may be eaten b'mezid. If it was done b'mezid, lo yoichel, you can't eat from that food until Matzah Shabbos. And here there are a number of questions. So Rashi says that the way to understand the opinion of Rameya is that if somebody cooks on Shabbos, it doesn't make a difference if it was done b'shogeg, or it was done, the halacha doesn't differentiate between the person who did it or somebody else, that the halacha is that b'shogeg Rav Meir takes this lenient approach, and b'mezid, he says we have to wait till Matzah Shabbos. And again, he doesn't differentiate whether it's the person who himself cooked or somebody else. Rashi, however, does quote that there are opinions that say that even on Shabbos itself, that the halacha is that you may not eat it, that's only for the person who cooked. But for somebody else, Ramey is going to take even the approach that on Shabbos itself, you're allowed to eat that food. Furthermore, there are those that take a different way of looking at Ramey. And they say when Ramey is lenient, it says that you have to wait till Matzah Shabbos, but Mezid, Ramey is only speaking about others, but the person who cooked himself can never eat it. But again, the posh b'shad is that as Rashi learns, on b'shogeg, everybody's allowed to eat it, and b'mezid, everybody has to wait for Matzah Shabbos. But then, when we speak about Matzah Shabbos, the halach is, what does Matzah Shabbos mean? So Rashi's opinion, and so is the opinion of the Ramban, that you have to wait Matzah Shabbos, not just as soon as Shabbos is over, will you be allowed to eat this cooked food? But on Matzah Shabbos, you're going to have to wait b'chdei shi'asa, the amount of time it takes to cook this food. And the reason is because we don't want somebody to benefit from something that was done on Shabbos b'mezid. The Gaonim, however, and Rabbani Yonah are of the opinion that according to our mayor, you don't have to wait on Matzah Shabbos. As soon as Matzah Shabbos comes, you will be allowed to eat this food. Because they certainly agree that there are places in Halacha where Halacha says you have to wait Matzah Shabbos b'chdei shi'asa, but they say, interestingly, that's only in a place where a Nochri cooked the food. Because there, we're concerned that the person may do it again. Because people don't view a Nochri doing Halacha on Shabbos as something so serious. Or another example is when something happened by itself, not with somebody actively doing Chil Shabbos. But here we're speaking about a case, and again, the Gemara is speaking about people who are observant. Such a person will not deliberately cook on Shabbos. We're not talking about a person who is going to make a habit out of doing this. And therefore, that the halach is that Matzoy Shabbos, they say, you could eat B'chdei Shiasa. Magen Avraham has a different approach, similar. He says that somebody being Mavashel B'Shabbos B'Mezid is a Misad L'Shchicha, it's hardly uncommon. Misad L'Shchicha L'Gozru Rabbonim. Certainly the Rishonim take the opinion that if somebody cooked for a choil on Shabbos, so the halach is that the person, a healthy person, may not eat that food that was cooked on Shabbos, but everybody will agree that that food could be eaten on Matzah Shabbos immediately. And there's no reason that we have to wait on Matzah Shabbos, b'chdei sheyase. There was really no avera done here. Says the Braisa further, Rabbi Yehuda Amar b'shoigig, if the food was cooked b'shoigig yoichel Matzah Shabbos, and may be eaten on Matzah Shabbos, with, and again, not differentiating between the person who cooked it or anyone else. B'mezid, but if it was done b'mezid lo yoichel alamas, that food may never be eaten by the person himself who cooked the food, and other people can eat the food Matzoy Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan Sam lo Omer b'shoigig yoichel Matzoy Shabbos, if the food was cooked b'shoigig, then a Matzoy Shabbos may be eaten, but again, only lacherim v'loy loy, only other people may eat it, not the person himself who cooked it. And b'mezid, when it was done, b'mezid, the halachas lo yoichel alamas, it may never be eaten, loy loy v'loy lacherim. So here we're learning that if a malach was done on Shabbos b'isser, even if it was done b'shoigig, one may not have any benefit from that malacha. So therefore, if the behemoth was slaughtered on Shabbos, the halacha will be we may not eat that meat on Shabbos. And therefore, Rav said that even though we said that the meat that was slaughtered on Shabbos is kosher, yes, it's kosher, but it may not be eaten on Shabbos. So again, Rashi explained that when it was cooked b'shoigig, it may not, according to Yehuda, it may not be eaten on Shabbos, but we have to wait for Matzah Shabbos. And again, Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion will be that we have to wait for Matzah Shabbos b'chdei sheyase. On the other hand, if he explains, the Reb Yehuda, when he said that we're not allowed to eat the meat, that we're not allowed to eat what was cooked on Shabbos only when it's done b'shaigig, it's not, the reason is, but is a knas, and we'll call that there was a knas, shoigig otumezid, and therefore, says Rashi, only the person himself who cooked deserves the knas. Everybody else doesn't deserve the knas. The reason Rabbi Yehuda holds la yoichel alamas, says Rashi, because Rashi's opinion, according to understanding of Yehuda, is that if somebody was mechal Shabbos pervezid, he can't have any benefit from that melacha. And as he said, Rashi says only the person himself who did the aveira deserves that punishment. But and on Shabbos, we don't want anybody to have benefit from it. But Matzoy Shabbos, there's no reason to make a knas on other people. That's the pshat that Rashi learns. The Levush has a different pshat. The Levush, and it's very connected to what we just learned in Rabbi Yochanan Samla's opinion, that it's not, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a knas, but rather, according to that interpretation, Rabbi Yehuda holds him with the raisa, if somebody was mechal Shabbos, he may not eat that food midaraisa matzosh ever. Ask the Gemara, so we had to explain that's following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that says if you cook the food with Matzah Shabbos, b'shag you can't wait, you can't eat till Matzah Shabbos. Ask the Rav and Nukman Rameyah, Rameyah, why can't we say that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameyah? And according to Rameyah, if the food was cooked on, if the food was cooked or the animal was slaughtered, b'mezid, he also agrees that you can't eat the food till Matzah Shabbos. And the reason the Gemara asked this question, explained the Mefarshim, is because we always prefer to explain that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameyah, because Stam Mishnah, the anonymous Mishnah, is always the opinion of Rameyah. Says the Gemara Lo Sakadatach. It's hard to explain that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameyah. The Ketani, because the Mishnah compared Shabbos to Yom Kippur. My Yom Kippur, when we speak about Yom Kippur, certainly meat that was slaughtered in Yom Kippur, the halacha doesn't differentiate loishna b'shoygi v'loishna b'mezid. There's no reason to differentiate shoygi g'mezid. The halacha is loyachal. It may not be eaten because it's Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur will not add it, we may not eat. Hachanami, when we speak about Shabbos, loishna b'shoygi v'loishna b'mezid, loyachal. And that only going to be understood according to the opinion of Yehuda that said that even b'shoygig, you're not allowed to eat the meat that day. But according to Rav Meir, where the meat is slaughtered, where the meat may be eaten, where the meat may, according to Rav Meir, if it was done b'shoygig, it may not be, it may be eaten. That's why it's hard to explain the Mishnah according to Rav Meir. Ask the Gemara, well, me mitzvah l'kalei b'shoygig. So the Gemara is saying, we want to be able to explain our Mishnah that it's even speaking about a case of b'shoygig, and therefore it has to follow the opinion of Yehuda. Says the Gemara, but how could you suggest that our Mishnah is speaking about that this aveira was be done b'shoygig? Doesn't the Mishnah say, v'af b'shemeschai b'nafshik tani? The Mishnah clearly indicated that here we are dealing with a situation where a person did an aveira for which there's a chiyuv misa. Says the Gemara, hachakama. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Afal gab dem amazed, meschai b'nafshahu, that even if he did an aveira, which when that aveira, if and when that aveira were done, b'mezed chas v'shalom, the person would be chayiv misa. Hacha, in this case of our Mishnah, teaches us that b'shoygig, if somebody shucked b'shoygig, shchitasuk shera. The Mishnah is coming to teach us that even though this is such a serious aveira, that this is an aveira that could perhaps bring with it a chiyuv misa, still the shechita is kosher. So now we have established that the tan of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. But ask the Gemara, why can't we say that the tan of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yochanan Sandler? That we're not allowed to eat the not allowed to eat something that was made on Shabbos, no matter what. So if that's the case, the halacha is that the since according to Rabbi Yochanan of Sandler, the Mishnah is teaching us we can't eat that meat, so that could be the Tanam. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan of Sandler komifku b'matzah Shabbos, l'cherim v'loyloy. Rabbi Yochanan of Sandler said that even on Matzah Shabbos, even b'shoigig, only others may eat that meat. But only others may eat that meat. He who cooked the food will never be allowed to eat that meat. Tana don, but shchitasik shera. And when the Tana said the shchitasik shera, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler differentiates the shoygig between the person who actually did the chil Shabbos and everyone else. But our Tana does not accept such a distinction. So therefore, loishna lo v'loishna al-cherim, and therefore, it's difficult to say that the halacha, the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, even though it would work that in the sense that when the Mishnah says that if the meat was slaughtered b'shoygig, nobody could eat it on Shabbos, in that sense, it would be consistent with Rabbi Yochanan Masandler's opinion. Says the Gemara, Tani Tana, they used to have a Tana who was an individual who was proficient in the Mishnah and the Mishnais and the Brises. that they learned Tarish Bapeh, they learned everything by heart. And he said the following braisa: Hamavash b'Shabbos, if somebody cooks on Shabbos, the halacha he said is b'shoygig yoichel. If it was done b'shoygig, you're allowed to eat it. B'meizid lo yoichel. But if it was done b'meizid, it may not be eaten. And says the Gemara, umashtik le Rav. When this was said, Rav said, I don't want this braisa to be quoted. Ask the Gemara, my time umashtik le Rav. Why did Rav take this approach? Ilema, if you're going to suggest Mishum the Sirei Kirab Yehuda, because this Brisa is expressing the opinion of because Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and this Brisa is expressing the opinion of Rav Meir, with Tanakh Rav Meir, ask the Gemara, Mishum the Sirei Kirab Yehuda, is it because Rav agrees with Rabbi Yehuda? Will he take the approach, the mandatory Rameya, that if somebody follows the opinion of Rameya, mashtikle, he deserves to be silenced, void? Furthermore, says the Ramisav like Rabbi Yehuda, is that indeed correct to say the Rav follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Ask the Gemara of Avraham Chana Bar Ami, Kemayra Luhu Rav LaTalmidei, when Rav would teach halacha to his Talmidim, Mayra Le Rameya, he would paskin, that if it was done b'shoyig, everybody can eat it on Shabbos, but Mezid, you have to wait for Matzah Shabbos. However, Kidarish Bepirka, when he was giving a public address, Darish, he was Machmer and Darish Rabbi Yehuda. He passed like Rabbi Yehuda that if it was cooked on Shabbos, B'shoigig, no one could eat it, and Mezid, forever it's also for the Mevashel. B'shoma Ami Aretz, there were Ami Aretz who attended that Rosh, and he was concerned that if they're going to hear that the halachas like Rav Meir, they're going to take a more lenient approach to Chilul Shabbos. So we see the Rav holds like Rav Meir. So why would Rav be upset at a Tana who's quoting a Brisa that follows the opinion of Rav Meir? V'chi Tana, v'chi Tema. And if you'll say that when did this happen, the Rav took this approach, when did this happen, suggests the Gemara, Tana b'pirke Tana kamei. He said this when this was done at a public drasha, and that's why he was most concerned. Ask the Gemara, Ata Tana Kula, Ata Kula Amla Tana Tzaisi. This, as we said, is referring to a situation where a Tana said over a Brisa, said that wasn't usually what the people who were listening to the speech paid attention to. What they would pay attention to was Lamaritzaisi, as we have many times in Shas, that when there was a drasha given on Shabbos, the Talmud Chacham would say the drasha, and they would appoint a Meturgeman, who's also called an Amira, and the Talmud Chacham would say quietly to the Meturgeman what he wants to have said, and then the Meturgeman would say it out loud, that they should all hear it. He would say it in a language that they all understood. So they were focused on the Meturgeman, not on the Tana, who's just quoting Brises. So the Gemara's question is, why is Rav so upset with a Tana that's saying something that may lead people to not do what's halachically correct? They're not the person, he's not the person that they're going to be following, says the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman by Yitzchak comes to explain Rav's behavior. Says the Gemara, Tana Shaychet, the Tana taught the case about Shaychet, Tana Kamei the Rav. And what he said to him was as follows: HaShaychet b'Shabbos, if somebody did Shechita b'Shabbos, if it was done b'Shoygig Yoichel, you may eat that meat. It was done b'Mezid lo Yoichel. V'amalei, and what Rav meant to say, my datach, why you paskling this way? Because you have paskling like Rameya, and Rameya holds that you're allowed to eat something that was done b'shoygi. But he said, at kamla kosher Rameya, when did Rameya take that lenient approach? Only when we're speaking about cooking on Shabbos. El Mavashel, where somebody cooked on Shabbos, because the food that was cooked, royal locust, could be potentially eaten raw. And whenever the Gemara speaks about food that says Rashi, that's eaten raw, and it's food that's not normally eaten that way, the Gemara calls it kasisa. Avel sheichet, when we speak about somebody shechting on Shabbos, dein rok loikos, raw meat cannot be eaten. Even Rameya will agree that such meat cannot be eaten on Shabbos. And the reason he takes that approach, the Gemara explained, the Rishonim explained, is because there's a new consideration. And that's the consideration of muksa, because it's muksa machmas iser. The meat, as Shabbos began, was muksa because you can't eat the meat without doing the avera of shechita. So this brisa that says if meat was slaughtered on Shabbos, you're allowed to eat it, can't be following the opinion of Rameya when it's muksa. And that's what was bothering Rav with this brisa. But ask the Gemara, from Asnis and the Shechidu, when we speak about our Mishnah, we're talking about Shechid, from Rav Huna, and we learned Dar Shechir Barav, Mishmei the Rav, that Chiba Rav said in the name of Rav, Asur Bachilu Yoyma, that it may not be eaten that day, V'nazman Chavrei Lameimer, and our colleagues explain that whose opinion does this represent? Rabbi Yehudahi. It represents the opinion of Yehuda, indicating that her Rameya, according to Rameya, shari, and we're not concerned about muksa. So why are you saying, asked the Gemara, that even Rameya would agree that by shechita, even if it was done by shogig, you may not eat that meat that day? Answers the Gemara, ki shari Rameya, when does Rameya say it could be eaten that day? There was somebody sick in the home, and therefore it's not muksa machm sisr. So as we discussed in our previous year, muksa means something that's set aside. And as we explained, there could be different reasons why something is set aside. We just spoke about muksa machm sisr. Well, we know it's a live animal, and we know we're not allowed to shecht on Shabbos. That's why it's muksa machm sisr. But here, we're referring to a situation where somebody is ill, and since this person is ill, and there's anticipation that they're going to have to shecht on his behalf, that's why the halacha is that Ramei would say it's not muksa. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, why would Rabbi Yehuda hold that if the meat was done, if we have this situation that the meat, that the person was sick, and that's why the shechita was done with tzarech chayla, so why should we take a strict approach? And says the Gemara, we're speaking about a case where it was somebody who was sick, at a Shabbos was beginning, and then he got healthy. And therefore, the meat never became muksa, because it was prepared at the beginning of Shabbos with tzarech chayla. But on Shabbos, this person got better, so therefore there was no right to shecht that meat. And since there was no right to shecht that meat, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that if it was done on Shabbos, in a case where it was not allowed to be done on Shabbos, it may not be eaten that day, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But, indeed, in a case where there was nobody sick as Shabbos began, the halacha is that everybody will agree that that meat is muksa machmas iser. And the Tana said that the shachar b'Shabbos b'shogig ye'ochel seems to be teaching us that even if there was nobody sick, you're allowed to eat that meat. And that was what bothered Rav, because Rav would say that everybody agrees it's muksa. The Gemara Masechta Beya discusses the following question. Why would we know that the defining moment when we speak about muksa is Bein HaShemoshes, when Shabbos began. Why would be the halacha where something was not muksa as Shabbos began, and then on Shabbos it became muksa, and then it became not muksa? Do we say that since during Shabbos at one point it became muksa, then it remains muksa for the rest of Shabbos, just like if it became muksa ben shmashus? Or do we say only if something was muksa ben shmashus will it always remain muksa for the duration of Shabbos? But if at the beginning of Shabbos it was a muksa, even though afterwards it became muksa, it doesn't automatically become muksa for the rest of Shabbos. So ask Tosfos that if we follow the opinion of Yesh muksa l'chasi Shabbos, so let's think about the case the Gemara just taught us, about somebody, there was a patient who was sick, and then he got better. So if we say Yesh muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, so even though, as we explained, in this case, at the beginning of Shabbos, it wasn't muksa, because at the beginning of Shabbos, we had this chaylup, but now, Baruch Hashem, he got better. And once he got better, it becomes muksa. And therefore, even if afterwards, he unfortunately turned to the worse, the halacha is that it should be asur because of muksa again. And this question is applicable whether we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda or Rameya. Says Tosfos a very interesting teretz. Tosfos says that if somebody was sick at the beginning of Shabbos, and therefore, as we're learning in our Gemara, the meat is not muksa, the animal is not muksa. And then, during Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, he got better. Still, since unfortunately, it is most common that if somebody was sick and gets better, it's possible, or more than possible, it's likely he's going to become sick again. Even the man da'amid that holds, Yesh muksa l'chatzi Shabbos, that if it becomes muksa during Shabbos, it's going to be muksa for the duration of Shabbos, he won't say that under such circumstances. And since there's a real possibility that this person is going to become sick again, that's why it is a muksa for the duration of Shabbos. Says the Gemara. The Gemara indeed proves the point that if somebody does shechita on b'Shabbos, there's a concern, there's a muksa consideration. Says the Gemara, if somebody shechs l'chayla b'Shabbos, osl bari. The healthy person may not eat from that meat because it's muksa. We're speaking about a case where this person was not sick at the beginning of Shabbos of Beinish Moshes. Hamavash l'chayla b'Shabbos, if somebody cooks for somebody who's sick on Shabbos, mutl bari. That a healthy person may eat from that food. My Tama, and he explains, because when we speak about food, even if it wasn't cooked, roy locus, it could be eaten raw. Hi, but meat is not edible raw, and therefore it's muksa at the beginning of Shabbos. Says the Gemara Amra Papa, there are times shashoichet mutter. There are times where somebody shechted the animal on Shabbos, and the halacha will be that the healthy person will be allowed to eat it. Where? Where the person was sick before Shabbos, and because the person was sick before Shabbos, so it removed, as we explained, the muksa consideration. On the other hand, mevashel asur, sometimes cooking on Shabbos, even though we're being lenient with cooking, because the food is edible raw, may not be eaten by somebody who's healthy, because we're speaking about a case where he had to cut a cucumber off the cucumber, and therefore, since the cucumber was attached to the ground, so therefore it became muksa. It's muksa machmas is iser because it was set aside because we're not allowed to cut off the cucumber on Shabbos. That's how Rashi learns this piece of Gemara. There are those that have a different understanding of this case. They don't explain that it was connected, because if it was connected to the ground, everybody would agree that it's, of course, muksa. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says that we're speaking about a case where the cucumber was not attached to the ground anymore by Beinish Moshes, but it was very hard and not edible, and that's why it's muksa. Amr Abdimi, Hilchasa, Hashoichet L'chaylam B'Shabbos, if somebody shechs an animal on behalf of a sick person on Shabbos, Mutal L'bori, the healthy person may eat it, B'umtza, he can be allowed to eat it when it's raw, because the shechita was permissible, and particularly as we're learning, we're speaking about a situation where this person was sick already, banishmashes, so we don't have a muksa consideration, and we're not cooking for him on Shabbos because he's eating it raw. And again, as we spoke about in our previous year, this is a raya that raw meat can be eaten without salting, because otherwise we would have the problem of salting. My tama, why are we be lenient in such a situation? Says the Marakimati Efshel Kazai's possible shchita. Meat cannot be eaten, you can't eat any meat without shchita. So, and there's one act of shchita for the entire animal. So when we're shechting this animal, adata d'chayel k'shechet, we're shechting it for this person who is eating, who's ill. And therefore, there's nothing that was done on behalf of the healthy person, and therefore he could eat the meat. So therefore, k'shechet, when the shechit is being done, adata d'chayel k'shechet, which as we're learning, is a permitted act. However, mashal l'chayel b'shabbos, if cooking was done for chayel b'shabbos, their halacha will be oslabari, a healthy person can't eat from that meat, from that food, even if there's no muksa consideration. And there's no bishul consideration because it was cooked for the chayla. Why? There's a new concern. And that is zeirah shemayarba b'shviloi. There's a concern that you may cook more for the healthy person. And that there's no, because you're going to cook also for the healthy person, and that would be Valvan Issa Deraisa. But here, the Gemara introduced the concept of Shemayarba B'Shviloi. And there's Machloikis, Rajba and Ran, how to understand the concept of Shemayarba B'Shviloi. The Rajba says that the Gemara is not concerned that you're going to put an extra meat, before you put it on the fire. Because that, the Rajba says, is not something that's usur. Because it's only one act of putting the pot on the fire. And putting in extra pieces is not only us, but Rabbonim. And for that, Chazal wouldn't make a gzera. The concern here, says the Rajba, is after you put the food for the chayla on in the pot on Shabbos, which you're allowed to do, then you're going to put extra food in that pot afterwards for a healthy person, which of course is an Issa Deraisa. The Ran disagrees. He says that when we speak about the concept of Ribi Bishurim, says the Ran, Ribi Bishurim is even when I'm allowed to do it. That means I'm putting food in a pot for cooking on Shabbos, for a chayla. He says, I'm only allowed to put into that pot what the chayla needs. Anything that the chayla doesn't need, I'm not allowed to put into the pot. And therefore, there's a concern that I may put extra pieces into the pot, and therefore, Chazal said you can't eat from that food because of gzeira of Shemayarba B'Shviloi. And he says, what is the basis for his opinion? He says, the basis for his opinion is because the halacha is if we have to cut figs, that's the example that's always given. If we have to cut figs for a chayla, and you have one branch that has three figs, and another branch that has two figs, we're only allowed to cut the figs that have two, they're only allowed to cut the branch with two figs. So we see how that's also because of Ribi Bishurim. So we learned the halacha, the machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rameir about Hamavashel B'Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch, paskins like Rabbi Yehuda regarding the halacha of Hamavashel B'Shabbos, says the Ramah that halacha applies by other malachas as well, that if it was done b'mezid, the person who did the aver b'mezid, it's also for him forever, and for everybody else, it's mutar on Matzah Shabbos. B'shoigig, it's also both for the person who did the malacha and everyone else. And there's machloikas apoiskim, this gemara that we just learned is speaking about an issa deraisa. But what happens if this discussion that we're having speaking about where somebody violated an issa d'rabbanon? The Levush's opinion is that even if somebody violated an issa d'rabbanon b'shagig, the halacha is that it's also boy b'yom bein loy bein lecherim. And he explains that in a way, Chazal were more machmer by issa d'rabbanon versus an issa deraisa. He said, by an issa deraisa, the halacha we said is we could eat it matzoy Shabbos, because as we said the svara earlier, says the Levush, we're not concerned that somebody is going to deliberately be mechal Shabbos. And since we're not concerned that somebody's going to deliberately mechal Shabbos, we could be makel by a deraisa. But once we begin discussing the Rabbanans, people don't take Issa Drabbanan as seriously as they take a Issa deraisa. And therefore, the halacha will be that even if it was done b'shogeg, you're always going to have to wait for about the Shabbos b'chdei shi'asa. The Pri Megadim disagrees. And he says, whatever is the halacha by Issa Drabbanan, so too will be the halacha by an Issa deraisa. The Gra's opinion is that, as we've been learning in our shir, Reb Meir is more lenient in this shaila than Reb Yehuda, and says the Gra that the machlokes of Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda is only by an issa deraisa. By issa drabanan, Reb Meir will agree to Reb Yehuda, and the Chai Adam says that this, that the Shulchan Aruch says that we should follow the opinion of Reb Yehuda, it's only by Mavashel. He says, because what is unique about Yavashel? That you did something with the actual food. You cooked the piece of food that was raw, and now it's cooked. That's called Bishul B'Shabbos. But for example, if the Aveira that you did was you carried a food out on Shabbos, so even though, of course, it's a serious Chil Shabbos carrying, but you didn't change the actual food, so there, if it was done B'Shogeg, everybody will agree that it could be eaten to both the person who carried it and everybody else. And for B'mezid, we have to wait to Matzah Shabbos. The Micha Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in Chelek Aleph Simen Hay, discusses this opinion. He says that that's only in a case that without the Chil Shabbos, you could have had benefit from this. But if we're dealing with a situation where the Chil Shabbos is essential to being able to eat the food, then the halacha will be that the machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and Reb Meir would still be relevant. As we also discuss this question of somebody being Mechal Shabbos and what are the repercussions for somebody being Mechal Shabbos, the Shaz HaTshuvas, Ksav Sofer, he says that even though we're being lenient, according both to Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, on Matzah Shabbos, that you could eat it, says the Shaz HaTshuvas, Ksav Sofer, that this is only in a case that it happened not on a regular basis. But says the Ksav Sofer, if we have a situation that a person on a regular basis is being Mechal Shabbos, and then Matzah Shabbos, we're going to say we're allowed to eat it because it was done, it's Matzah Shabbos, the halacha is you could eat it, he says that is not something that we could take, that we could be lenient with. He says that with his rampant Chil Shabbos, we have to be Machmer. And there's a famous tshuva from the Stipler. The Stipler was asked, particularly at the beginning, in Israel, there was a factory in Haifa that made cement. And the Stipler was asked if the Lari, and that factory was Mechal Shabbos. And the question was, can we use that cement, obviously not on Shabbos, but during the week? And even though they were being Mechal Shabbos b'mezid, but we're learning that others could use that. Everybody agrees that other people could use that food. So he says that when we have this type of situation, there's another consideration. Really, two other considerations, said the Stipler. One consideration is that we have to think about Chil Shabbos. And when we have to think about Chil Shabbos, we have to think about Chil Hashem with Chil Shabbos, what it represents if we're giving business to that type of a situation. Number two, the other concern is that Slifnei Iver. If people will buy that food, it's going to be Lifnei Iver because we're causing them to work on Shabbos. And he wants to suggest whenever there's a new consideration of lifnei iver. Therefore, we have to be more machmer. Continues the Mishnah. Shechem magliad, somebody who shechs with a sickle. And when we speak about a sickle has two sides. One is smooth and one is serrated. And he shechted it, obviously, with the smooth side. Or he does it betzor, with a sharp stone. Bekana, with a reed. Shechitasuk shera. In all these cases, the shechit is only acceptable b'dievid. L'chatchila, one should not shech this way. Furthermore, says the Mishnah Hakol Shechtim, everybody could shech. This is a subject that we discussed extensively at the beginning of Masechta. A mumer, when and how could a mumer shech? Well, l'olam shechtim, shechita could take place both by day and by night and anywhere. Or b'kol shechtim, all the various different sharp instruments that we just identified may be used for shechita. Chutz mimagel kotzer. There, a sickle that has very sharp pegimas serration, we have to be machmer. The magera is a saw. The shenayim, teeth in the cheek, teeth that are in the cheek of the animal. Even one consideration, as we're going to learn, is a consideration of mechuber, a big part of our suya. And the other concern is that since there's a space between the teeth, that disqualifies it to be used for shechita. For tzibayrin, a fingernail when it's still connected, nei shen chaykin. In all these situations, they don't slit the neck, they rip out the simonim, and whenever we have a situation that the simonim are going to be ripped out, the halacha is that it's asur. And therefore, when we speak about the tzipirin, it doesn't make a difference if it's when we speak about the tooth, there's no difference if it's the tooth of an animal or the tooth of a person. Says the Mishnah, Hashoichit, the Mishnah spoke about somebody shechting with the sickle that has the smooth side, and the Mishnah is saying that it's only acceptable the yavid in, it's only acceptable what was done by the yavid, l'chatchila loy, but it's not acceptable what was done l'chatchila. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Magliad, when we speak about a sickle, the halacha is most understood. Because we're concerned that even though we're shechting with the smooth side, Dilma Osla Mevet Bidach Gisa, we have to be concerned that you're going to shecht with the other side, and which has pegimus. And Rashi says, from here we learn that if you have a knife that has pegimus, and there's a space on the knife that has no pegimus, we're still not allowed to use that knife, because you may come to use the part that has pegimus. But says the Rosh, that on Yontif, with halachas, you can't fix a knife, and halachas, as we also have learned, you're allowed to shecht on Yontif. Their halachas is if you could be comfortable and careful that you're not going to shecht with the part without pegimus, you could use that type of a knife, and that's actually where the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea, Simen Yud Ches, Sif Yud says that if you have no other option, then you could use it on under certain circumstances. But now we're saying that a stone and a stick may not be used for shechita v'rimini, but we just, the Braisa teaches us, how do we reconcile this? Answer the Marla Kasha. Kambetolish, when they're detached, they may be used. The Kama Mechubar, when they're connected still, they may not use. Damarav Kana, Shoichir B'Mechubar Karka. If something's attached, Rebbe Paisel, Rebbe says that such a Shechit is possible, Rechia Machshem. And says the Gemara, that even when Rebbe Chia says it's acceptable, Ad Kanoi Machshem Rebbe Chia, when does Rebbe Chia take that approach? El B'Di'evit, Abul Chathil Eloi. It's also interesting to point out that we just said that if there's a begim and a knife, we should not use that knife. But under certain circumstances, we've been lenient. So it's interesting to point out that it's only in a case where the person who does the shechita is able to say confidently that he did not cut the animal with the place that has a begimah. But if he can't know that for certain, then we have a problem. Furthermore, says the Shach, we could only accept that in a case that the person knew there was a begimah. Because when he knows there's a begimah, he knows to be careful. But if he doesn't know there's a begimah, the Shach says, even if he says, I know I didn't touch the animal's neck with the place that has begimah, we cannot be lenient. The halacha is that the Mishnah, the Gemara just mentioned different things that could be used for Shechita. Tfu Ashar discusses, is this list to be taken the way the list is offered? And we should always go what's first, if we don't have a knife, or it doesn't make a difference. Tfu Ashar says it doesn't make a difference. Any of these instruments can be used. Says the Gemara, B'mai Kimta, we explained the Mishnah, Krav Chia. And Rav Chiya's opinion is that we could only use these instruments b'di'evit. Ella, the Tanya asked the Gemara, the Brisa says, B'kol shachtim b'ein b'tolsh b'ein b'mechubar. B'ein shesak l'mal v'sava b'ein l'mat, we'll discuss this more in tomorrow's shir, where the knife is on top and the animal's neck is on the bottom. Or b'ein shesak l'mata v'tsava b'ein l'mal, or vice versa, mani. According to this, who is the Tanya of this Brisa? Loi Rebbe v'loi Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya, Rav Chiya's opinion is, the evid in only with the evlechat chiloloi, and this price seems to say you could use it. You could use these things even chatchila, and Rebbe certainly it can't be because Rebbe holds you can't use this even with the evid. Answers the Gemara loylam Rav Chiya. We're going to say that this price is following the opinion of Rav Chiya, and we're going to learn Rav Chiya says that these things could be done even chatchila. So if that's the case, why are they arguing with the evid? Why shouldn't we say that's following the opinion of Rav Chiya, to teach us, to teach us how machmer Rebbe is, that even with the evidence may not be used. So Taisus asks, though we always followed Koyach the Torah, so why shouldn't we try to show how lenient Rav Chiya says? So the Tferes Yaakov says, the way that we say Koyach the Torah Adif is when they have a machloikis, but they have a fundamental agreement, and then in details, they disagree. So there we want to point out the opinion that takes a lenient approach. Here, the machlokes is much more fundamental because Rebbe says you can never use this. And Rebbe says you can't use it. And Reb Chiya says you can always use it. There we don't take the approach of Koyach the Torah. Elmas Nisidiktoni Shoichit. Ask the Gemara, the Mishnah that says Shoichit, which we're learning the evidence, l'chatchil loy, mani, according to this approach, it's not following that opinion of Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya, he holds that even l'chatchila, you could use mechubar. And Rabbi holds that the evidence, nami loy, answers the Gemara, loylam, afil l'chatchila. The halacha is, Rabbi Chiya says you could choose l'chatchila, masnis in the ketani hashoichit, that it means only by the Evid, it's following the opinion of Rebbe. But ask the Gemara, Kasha the Rebbe at the Rebbe. Here we're saying that Rebbe holds that by the Evid you could use Mechubar. And a moment ago we said the Rebbe says even by the Evid you can't use Mechubar. Ask the Gemara, like Kasha. Kama Mechubar Mikara. If it was always attached, there Rebbe will hold you can't use it under any circumstances. But Tolish L'Besayf Chibroi, if it was detached and then attached, Rebbe will say by the Evid it's acceptable. Ask the Gemara, where do we take this difference? Where do we take this distinction? The Tanya Shoichet B'Muchni. If somebody used a machine and it's like works with a wheel and that causes the knife to shech the animal, Shechitasu K'sheira. B'Mechub L'Karka, Shechitasu K'sheira. Not Sakim B'Kaisel, if somebody put a nail into the wall, V'Shachaba, that you put the animal's neck over that nail, shkitasu k'sheira. Hayitzar yoytzim in a kaisel, but if there's a stone coming out of the wall, a kana oyla me'elav, or a piece of wood is growing out of the ground, v'shachaba shkitasu p'seila, then the sheikhid is paused, then it's not good. And ask the Gemara, obviously, kasha adadi. First the Braisa said, demim chubal karka, it's fine. And then it says it's not. Alav shmami no. How do we answer this braisa? The shani, there's a difference between something that's mechuba mikara, that is not acceptable even by the evid, versus talosh lepsoif chibra, that Rebbe will hold by the evid, it's acceptable, shmami no.